Hey everybody, happy Thursday. Today we're continuing on with the book of Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 8. And again, this is a little bit of a longer passage, and so I do invite you to have a Bible open and just follow along with me as I read through it and then share some thoughts afterwards. So again, this is Isaiah chapter 8. Then the Lord said to me, "Take a large tablet and write on it in common characters belonging to Maharshalal Hashbaz. And I will get reliable witnesses, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah, to attest for me." And I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, "Call his name Maher-shalal Hashbaz, for before the boy knows how to cry, 'My father,' or 'My mother,' the wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria." The Lord spoke to me again, "Because this people has refused the waters of Shiloah that flow gently and rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory. And it will rise over all its channels and go over all its banks, and it will sweep on into Judah and will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck, and its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your hand, O Emmanuel. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, "Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary, and a stone of offense, and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, 'Inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter,' should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching and to the testimony. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land, greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." All right, so the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 10, tell about the imminent Assyrian invasion. And we didn't really touch on it in yesterday's Devo, but in chapter 7, we see that Israel and Syria have plotted to invade Judah, but God says Judah will be spared when Assyria eventually comes and invades Israel, even eventually taking them into exile. And what Isaiah is talking about here is a prophecy, a foretelling of what's to come. But you can read more about what happens, what comes to be in 2 Kings chapter 17. Anyway, for today's devotional, I'm going to focus our attention on the second part of this chapter, which starts in verse 11. It says, "For the Lord spoke thus to me, Isaiah, with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people." Isaiah is being told by God here not to follow the ways of the people, to not call conspiracy all that the people call conspiracy, and to not fear what they fear. Basically, don't think like and do as the other people do, and don't just follow what they say. Instead, honor God alone as holy. Fear him and him alone. To most, if not all, of us listening today, this might sound pretty obvious. Follow God, not other people. Listen to God's word, not what others say. Stay in line with the Lord's ways, not the ways of the world. Sounds pretty clear, right? Now, at the same time, though, I think all of us also know that there are times in life when this is a lot harder to actually do, that it's a lot easier said than done. When it seems like everyone around you is choosing to make an unwise decision and you feel the peer pressure. When it seems like society is pushing for certain values and beliefs that don't align with the way of Jesus. When it seems like it's easier to be accepted, get that promotion, more comfortable to follow the ways of others around you rather than God, well, what do? Again, I'm assuming that all of us have been in this kind of situation before, and you know you should do, but actually doing it can be hard sometimes, right? Well, let's listen again to God's words to Isaiah, starting again from verse 13. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread, and he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. God will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling. In other words, those who turn to God and trust him, as God is urging Isaiah to do, to them, God will be a sanctuary. He will be a place, a holy place of worship, a place of refuge. Those who trust him will encounter him, be in his presence, and have life. However, to those who do not trust God, to those who go their own way, God will be as a stumbling block, a trap, and a snare in which they will fall and be taken. Now, I think it's fair to wonder at this point, how can God be both of these things at the same time? Well, first of all, I don't think this means that God has like these two split personalities. It's not like he's super nice and kind and good to those who are good to him and then mean to those who aren't good to him, you know, like sticking out his leg and tripping up unsuspecting people just because he feels disrespected. I don't think it's like that. I think it's a little bit more like this. Imagine that you're trying to carry a bunch of items from one place to another, maybe moving in to a new place. You're carrying a bunch of different things, and clearly you're having a tough time with it as things are slipping out, falling down, you know, you're kind of tripping over these things. And then someone comes along and offers to help you. In fact, this person is offering to take all of your things and put them in their spacious car to help you move. At that moment, you can say yes and enjoy the process of moving, you know, and it can be a whole lot easier. Or you can, out of your pride and stubbornness, say no and just find yourself continuing to struggle and fight and grow ever frustrated with how things are going. You might even get bitter about the process, maybe even blame that person who offered to help, even though if you think about it, it was kind of in your hands. You didn't have to go about it in this way. This may not be a perfect example, but I think it's kind of like that. The Apostle Peter in the New Testament refers to these verses in one of his letters. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he refers to Jesus as the stone and says that whoever believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. But for those who do not believe, that stone is, like we see in Isaiah, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And they stumble because they disobey the word. You see, it's their pride and their stubbornness, and ultimately the disobedience that comes from that, that leads them to stumble and fall. Going back to Isaiah, I think he must have felt this tension on some level, the tension of knowing that to follow God is the way to life, but feeling the pressure of those around him. I mean, just think about what he had been commissioned to do. The words, even just so far in the now 8 chapters that we've read, the words he was speaking to the people of Judah weren't easy to say. People were likely unhappy with him and his message. If it were easy for Isaiah to say and do these things, I assume God wouldn't have said what he said in verses 12 and 13. He wouldn't have felt the need to exhort Isaiah to fear him and not the people around him. So Isaiah must have felt this tension, at least to some extent. But in the end, we see that he chooses to remain faithful to God. Verse 16, Isaiah says, "Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him." Isaiah says he'll put his trust and his hope in God, even if those around him may say and do otherwise. Even when it seems like what's coming is kind of scary, you know, there's the enemy forces coming, he's going to trust in the Lord, fear him, and wait upon him. And my exhortation, my encouragement for all of us today is to do the same. It's similar to how God spoke to Isaiah, I believe that God is speaking to each of us. He's calling us to him and urging us to enter into his presence, his sanctuary, and rest and delight in him. He's calling us to not follow the ways of the world, to not give in to the pressures, not give in to the fears or the thoughts or ways of living. Let go of stubbornness and pride and disobedience and instead submit and surrender to God that we might rest in him, in his presence. And I don't think it stops there. In the spirit of Missions Month, but of course, again, just in the way that we're called to live, we should also consider how we can lead others into God's presence. I'll be honest, it's pretty sobering to read something like verse 15, where it says that many shall stumble and fall and be broken. However, let's not give up in pointing people to the Lord, showing those around us that He is our joy and rest. Let's work to show people, show others that a life of worshiping Him is where true life is found. And so, with that, let me close out our time this Devo with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your presence. Lord, you are the way to life. You are our sanctuary. You're our place in which we find rest and peace and joy and delight as we worship You. God, we also know, though, Lord, that in our stubbornness, sometimes You become that stumbling block. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us to turn to You, to let go of that pride and stubbornness, and instead look to You, to rest in You. I also pray that You would give us a heart of compassion for those around us, that the way we live, the way we act, would point others to You, that more and more people would come to know You as the sanctuary, not as a stumbling block. So show us how we can live in this way, Lord. We thank You for this time in Your presence and in Your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.